has been accessible. Committee of Wayne Transit District on October 19th, 2021. And I'll call roll. Hoover's here. And Pete Knox.
Here.
Cosette Rees. Well, I don't know. Are you a member of the committee? I don't recall on you then.
Nope.
Susan Cox.
Present.
Regina Hensley.
Brianna Hensley. I'm present.
John Allen. Let's see. Mark, Neil, Pete. And then myself, Don Norden. That seems all we are present right now. Do we need a quorum or anything here? I guess
we do for action items, but we don't have any action items for today. So, but we do have audience participation.
Okay. Did you read the requirements there for me, please, Cosette?
Mel, are you able to read those?
Yes, absolutely. Okay, to indicate that you would like to provide testimony, please use the raise your hand button. For those who are attending via phone only, press *9 on your phone to raise your hand. When it is your time to speak, your name will be called. For those who are attending via phone only, the last four digits of your phone number will be called. Please state your name, city of residence, and who you are representing for the audio record. Once you have provided testimony, your hand will be lowered. Please do not raise your hand again. Only one opportunity to speak is provided. For those who are unable or not wanting to speak publicly, testimony may be provided via email at clerk@lpd.org. Public testimony is limited to 3 minutes per community member. A timer will be displayed on the screen and will beep when the 3 minutes is up. And I am not showing anyone indicating that they would like to speak.
Okay, seeing no. See, John's here now. Lisa's the committee chair here, right? So why don't I turn it over to Lisa?
Hi there. Sorry, I was jumping from another meeting and Zoom was not helping me. But thank you for waiting. So I just need to pull up my agenda. 1 second. Yes.
Lisa, we skipped over preliminary remarks from the chair so that you would have an opportunity to make your remarks once you joined.
Oh, okay, thank you. So then I need to jump to my preliminary remarks. So just 1 second for that. I am probably gonna want to screen share at some point in this part. So there are a couple things I just wanted to try out. We had some conversations in planning this meeting. It made me think about a couple of things that I wanted to try and make sure that we continue to be clear on. And one is just a restatement of the purpose of this committee from the bylaws. And I think everybody knows this, but again, it just feels like reiterating is probably not a bad thing to do occasionally. So this committee advises and assists the board in considering the impacts of potential proposed or actual service changes on individuals who are transit dependent. So just a restatement. I don't think that it would hurt simply to have that be on the agenda, just as a reminder constantly kind of what our objective is, because sometimes people and me can go down wormholes that might not be as useful for this committee. Although I believe that everybody is willing to open discussions for things that are important to this group. So that I just wanted to start by restating that. in thinking about sort of why we're all here, I wanted to get a better sense, literally, of why we're all here. I wanted to send out a survey after this meeting that can gather some information that maybe can lead to a better understanding of what everybody wants, et cetera. So this is going to come out after this meeting. And if any of you can think of questions that you think should be on the survey, share them with me or John or Cosette and or anybody on this meeting who knows how to get hold of us. And we can see if that would make sense to put it on the survey as well. The questions that I had thought of were, what do you hope to accomplish as part of the CATC? What agenda items or reports would you like to see at future meetings? And how can staff better prepare you to carry out this work? I know that this is a very willing staff. If there are things that you are noting that would have helped you to have been better prepared for the meeting that we're in, I think that will help us all to learn how to better support the work of this committee. And then I also just thought it might not be a bad idea, even though we are not making financial decisions of any kind, to sort of understand the resources and the financial landscape that programs that we're talking about and services are kind of part of. Having worked in nonprofits pretty much my entire adult life, finance is the ugly stepchild or stepsister of the programs. Just understanding funding, I think, is just always an important piece of kind of understanding the whole project. So sharing screen, not any of those. So 1 second. I always forget the share button. So this is something that John sent me. I had asked if there were any visuals, and I thought that this was a good one. John, can you explain what this covers? What time frame is this?
Yeah, thanks for bringing this up. This is a portion of our FY22 budget. And so this is a document that is reviewed and approved by LTD's board of directors. We actually have the full version of this posted publicly on our website. So for anyone who wants to dig in more, we have a complete list of our financials at ltd.org/financials. And it is our currently approved budget. And then this particular graphic shows what's known as the specialized services budget, which it contains a lot of the services that typically we come to this group to get feedback, recommendations, and suggestions on. So those are services that often will be specifically serving older adults and people with disabilities. This also includes many of our STIF-funded programs, the newest of grants. What we see here are two different graphics, one reflecting the total amount of resources available. So what kind of funds are we able to put together through grants, through general funds, to be able to support these services? And the second is the expenditures. Now you see that these exactly line up, and that's not a coincidence. We basically want to make sure that we're using our resources to provide programs within our budget to be able to serve older adults and people with disabilities, primarily through these programs. This is one of many different budgets within LTD, but one that I think this committee in particular may have an interest in focusing upon more of the programs for. Now, even further detail beyond just the budget documents, there's quite a few. So I believe the budget itself is about 150 pages. We maintain an archive of videos of meetings similar to these, in which we've gone through each of the different programs that make up budgets, such as the specialized service budget, as they go before the board, with opportunities for question, public hearing, comment, and in turn, final approval through a process that's taken place earlier this year in preparation for the FY22 budget, which started on July 1st of this calendar year and goes through June 30th of 2022. So this is our plan essentially for this current fiscal year to be able to provide services under the specialized service budget, as well as an opportunity for those who are interested in digging deeper to know what kind of resources are out there. Staff always remains available to be able to talk through this, provide presentations, or go through any of these programs in more detail. You're probably familiar with some of the different services that we do, such RideSource being one of the biggest. We also, through this budget, provide services in Florence through the Rhodey Express, Oak Ridge with the Diamond Express. We're providing many different kinds of services, such as within Cottage Grove. Mobility on Demand is one of our newer programs in that area. These are all services that are aimed to provide programs specifically to be able to provide additional assistance or gap transportation or just meet needs in general of older adults and people with disabilities. So it would take quite some time to go through all the different programs that fall within this budget, but I just wanted to note that out of all of LTD's budgets, this may be of the most interest to this committee.
Did anybody have any questions about this particular graphic? Anything that you would want to know about what you're seeing here? It appears that is a no, so I will.
I thought maybe showing the graph of how much funding is putting toward a ride source.
I think that we probably could get something like that, right, John, at some point.
Absolutely. So I'll note that the budget book itself, depending on what your needs are, it may not get as granular into individual programs, but we can certainly talk about all the information that went into developing the budget book, which includes the types of resources that go into providing a service like RideSource. I'll note that RideSource is a portion of this budget. However, we also have a portion of RideSource which is not part of the specialized service budget. So a big piece of work that happens at RideSource is Medicaid transportation. So that's non-emergent medical transportation. And that in turn, we receive funding through our local coordinated care organizations, which in Lane County are Trillium and Pacific Source, as well as through Oregon Health Authority, to be able to fund medical trips for people going to doctor's visits, picking up their prescriptions, things like that. So those two budgets combine form RideSource Call Center. So RideSource in itself, well, oftentimes people think of it as, that's just a service. I call one phone number and they give me a trip to where I need to go. We try and intentionally make that very simple. But within LTD, it's actually a very complex network of interconnected programs that rely on one another. So Medicaid being a portion of that, we're funding through grants, such as our federal 5310 dollars, our state STF dollars, local general fund dollars, all coming together to be able to make that simple so that someone just has the one phone number and the one call center to call for all of their different transportation needs, and then we take care of the rest.
And both Hoover and I have served on the Special Transportation Fund, so we have a certain amount of information in our minds about how some of this is played out. And that's one of the reasons I found it particularly interesting and thought it might be of interest to others. I know we have a lot of board members also who are attending, and most of you already know a lot of this, but I just thought it is worth sharing. There is one other that I thought might be useful. And this sort of just looks at it in a couple different ways, so that it sort of shows the total revenue. And this is where this comes from, is that right? Or what is
that? That's right. So whereas in our last graphic, we were looking at a sliver of LTD's overall programs and budgets, now we're looking at the entire picture. So this is including things like our fixed route buses, all of the different activities that LTD does. So Specialized services is a portion of that. Our Medicaid services are a portion of that. Together, those make our ride source umbrella. And then we do even more, our fixed route bus being a huge part of what LTD does for our community. That's included in here as well. So this graphic is showing us the overall everything that LTD does combined. And then of course we can get into much, much more detail from here as is helpful to this committee. So staff remains available just as a resource to dive either as deep as the committee collectively wants to do, or for individual members, if you want to dig deeper, this is all publicly posted and available for you right now. So if you are the type of person that likes to read through and get to that more granular level of detail, we do have that posted, and we're here to be able to help either interpret or kind of make that process a little bit simpler whenever possible.
So here are non-fixed route services, and you can see here are specialized services and the Medicaid services. P2P, John?
That is our point-to-point service. Mm-hmm. So I'm probably not our best representative to speak to our point-to-point, but Cosette happens to be with us, and I would encourage her to be able to join in.
Sean, I'm really happy to clarify. So the point-to-point is our transportation options. So it's promoting pretty much anything that is not a single occupant vehicle. So it's coordinating van pools. It's coordinating with employers on transportation coordination within their organization, bike share, many, many smart trips to school, safe routes to school, and then smart trips. So many, many types of opportunities to encourage our community to utilize any mode other than a single occupant vehicle.
And it occurs to me that many of these services might be ones that we might be looking at as well as other things, but this seems like a group that seems very much like it might get our attention, these three non-fixed route services. And I just wonder too, you know, as we're moving forward with things that are coming up that we are going to be looking at that are either changes or new services, et cetera, with this group, to maybe get some kind of understanding of how they sort of fit in to these pieces that we've just looked at might be something that would be good to have available before the meeting. One of my concerns is that we have quarterly meetings, and if we are not on our game and really having people informed about what is coming up, that we won't be able to make good or an informed decision. So my hope is that through your input, and we have a meeting 2 weeks before this to try and talk through what things are coming up, that we'll be able to provide you with the best information so that you feel you can make an educated decision about things moving forward. So that was what I had. Is there anything that I had said I would talk about that I just forgot to that you can remember, Cosette or John?
It may be, I think that was a great summary. It may be a good opportunity just to see if there were any areas of interest from committee members. So I heard RideSource in particular, and mm-hmm. absolutely that's an easy area for us to provide some more additional information, say for future session, but also in particular if there are areas where we would like to poll the group, or you had discussed a survey where other committee members might want to make sure that we probe a little bit deeper.
So I think that sort of is a call for comment, questions, and also an offer of letting you say things later. Yes, Don.
I'm wondering how, with our fixed route services, we've had some earlier discussion about deviated service. I'm thinking particularly of Cottage Grove and South Lane, the number 98. And it doesn't make sense to run that 60-foot bus around the whole circuit all the time, but we should get better. It's kind of a combination of services that we're already using. I see that Ruth is on the line here, but we have the mobility on demand, we have the South Lane Trench, we have a Douglas connection, and then we have the 98 coming down and doing this stuff. And it seems like we could use some more coordination, not use the big equipment to do, you know, small equipment work. And I don't know if this is the level of, or this committee is the one that should work on this, but, you know, I just wanted to introduce it into the discussion so that perhaps we could get better service without spending as much resource by, you know, changing the nature of the way we run it. I'm specifically interested in not running a 60-foot bus where we're only picking up a half a dozen people. And of course, people paying for that don't want to see that either. Nobody wants to see it, but we also want to have the connections there. We want to be able to depend on catching a ride at a particular time and knowing where it's going to go and be able to, you know, catch the next loop of their ride, wherever it is. I guess that's all I want to say right now.
I'd like to hear more about the various programs that we have that are being developed to provide more opportunities to every community.
Well, we want to be cognizant of the people who are mobility impaired and need this service, but also the general population, trying to make the service available so that, you know, there will be more decisions to use our public transportation services rather than using their private automobiles. And with all the assets we have available, I just think we could design it a little better than it is.
So Hoover, were you talking about a separate topic around making sure that we are learning about new or proposed new mobility services?
I'm talking specifically about the fact that this year, what's going on? I have no idea. So I want to hear what LTD itself is thinking, which direction it's moving, and for it to sort of provide more information. Everybody and everything has changed. So therefore it's obvious LTD is changing also. So I want the updates about where we're at, where we're going, and what we're going to do, and what kind of programs are being developed, and how you're rolling them out, and how they interface with our existing programs and resources. Sorry, I don't talk too good right now, but
that was great, and I think that certainly is something that we can have as an agenda item. Correct? That something that we just touch base about. If there's nothing to report, we report nothing.
Let's have an update and at least begin there together. Everything's changed.
Yes. I didn't hear what you just said before everything's changed.
Let's get an update on everything.
Okay, yeah. So I think we'll try and add that some kind of update. And I think that makes sense in the world that we're in right now. I think everybody just sort of wants to take the temperature of change, both good and bad. We just want to know where we are. Anything else that people want to bring up at this point? Okay. So do we want to like look at each other, or should I bring up the agenda that could be something we're all looking at, or what would you like? Anybody want to see the agenda or?
Well, the agenda is right here.
Okay. Where did you get? I said you had said that you had skipped remarks from the chair. Well, now we've done them. Had you gotten through something else before I got on?
No,
I think we are ready for the first item for information agenda item.
Okay, so we don't have audience participation. We don't have items for action. We don't have items for board recommendation, but we do have items for information. So let's go with that. And that is Tom, I believe.
Yes, thank you, Chair. My name is Tom Schwartz. I'm the Director of Planning and Development. And I'm going to give you an overview of our services so far, give you a status on where we're at with respect to ridership and service, and talk a little bit about some of the factors we're thinking about as we move forward out of the pandemic, as slow as that might be. So to start with, I am going to share my screen. And I will do it this way. Just double check, can folks see some graphics, bar charts there? Yes, I see nodding of heads. That's a good thing. So to start off with, what I'm showing you here is a bar chart showing the last 4 weeks of our ridership. So these bars are showing the total boardings by day. And we've got the blue bars are weekday service. So that's the ridership during the weekdays. And then Saturdays are in green and Sundays are in kind of a dark blue, I guess. And as you'll note, the weekend service is much lower than our weekday service. That's how it's always been. And Saturdays are typically, anywhere from 25 to 30% greater than Sunday service. And again, that's a pattern we've always seen. So to begin with, for a long time, and some of the board members may recognize this report, it's the one that we've used during the pandemic periods, we have had reduced use of our service, as you can understand. And so we were very excited to find that with this year, with the high schools back in session and the University of Oregon in session, and I'll speak to LCC specifically later, we saw a tremendous increase in our ridership. And generally speaking, at the beginning of September, we were at about 12,000, and today we're operating around close to 18,000. So that's a 50% increase in our ridership just in the last month due to high school ridership and U of O students riding the bus. With respect to LCC, LCC is normally contributing to that ridership as well, but you may be aware that they are currently not operating on campus learning at this point. We're watching to see kind of when that might happen. We are actually operating some service out there now that will get much more use once students are on that campus. So that's kind of where we're at. And some other elements in this graph that I want to point out, our lowest weekday boardings were back in April of 20. And that's the black dashed line across here. And then the average of our 2020 weekday boardings is the orange line. And then you can see the 2021 average weekday boardings number is the green line at the top. And so Again, we feel we're at, right now, we're actually seeing much better use of our service, and that's always a good thing.
The graft hasn't been moved up. We're looking at the old graft.
Yeah, I'm still talking about the old graph. To see the dashed green lines, can you see that or not?
Yes, okay.
Yeah, so that's what I was speaking to, Don. The other graph that we have here at the bottom of this is just showing MX as a portion of our ridership. And during the pandemic, it was higher. And now with the return of ridership, you're seeing it's more, you can't see from this chart, but it's a little lower, but it's still about 45 to 50% of our ridership is still on MX. These charts show just boardings by day. It's good. As you can see the weekdays and then the dip down. And we did this by different types of our service. We have connector service, we have rural service, we have urban service. There's the service that's the core, which is the higher frequency service, MX, and then the college routes that we actually added in this last fall bid. And you can see there's just different patterns. The big carriers of riders are the connector service and the core service and MX. And so that's just give you a sense of that. And then one of the things that we look at is how people are using our service later in the evening. And so we have a chart here at the bottom showing our weekday service after 8:30. And again, what we've seen is, and you'll see this in some of the next set of graphics, what we've seen is that boardings after 8:30 have been pretty steady. And at this point, what you're seeing here is actually not much of an increase as we've seen during the middle of the day when the students are in session and all. So, but this ridership is pretty steady. If people are using the buses after 8:30, they really need to use the buses. So we're glad that we're able to provide that service. So I'm going to move to the next chart here. And one of the things that we, as we're planning our operations and all that we think about is how is demand for our service spread across the course of a given day? If you have seen these kinds of charts before, whether it's transit or vehicle, broader vehicle use, this is showing from the time our service begins in the morning until it ends at night, what the pattern of ridership is. And it's segmented by hour. And one of the things that you can see here is that in the pre-COVID times, and so this is the high blue pattern, there are some distinct peaks in the morning and the evening. And what's interesting about our peaks here in Eugene Springfield area is that we have actually two peaks. One is in the morning, the first peak that you see there on the left-hand side, that's around 7 a.m., is the peak of the work commute in the region. So people going to work are the peak of that kind of service is around 7 a.m. Another peak that we experience on transit is again the universities and high schools. And so that second peak, actually a higher peak, because we have more of those kinds of riders using our services, is around 9 a.m. And so that's when we see that peak. And so we actually, if you look at the vehicles that we're operating during certain times of day, we're operating more service than we do in the middle of the day, which you can see the demand is a little bit lower. But then we're gearing up again to handle the evening peak. And this is more of an afternoon peak, actually. The sharpest part of this is the again the students getting out of school. And so you can see it's quite a peak that happens here. And then there's the commute peak or the work peak actually around 6 p.m. So we've got four different peaks that we manage over the course of the day. So those of us who geek out on this stuff, we're really excited to see the peaks returning because that means that people are starting to use it on a regular basis in a way that we recognize. So, you know, things are starting to come back in a manner that we recognize. I'm going to talk a little bit more about the uncertainty facing increased transit as we move forward. But clearly you can see this dark blue pattern here shows the, and it's obviously there's less ridership now. But you can see the same kinds of peaks starting to emerge. Which for us, again, is a good thing. We know how to operate this level of service, and we're excited to see that ridership returning. The chart below that is just showing the weekly ridership since the before the pandemic. So the very high, you can see at one point pre-COVID, we were carrying about 35,000 people on an average workday. Or weekday, I should say, and that fell dramatically down into the first part of April. There, we were down to less than 10,000, about 8,500. So, a tremendous decrease in the use of our service. Which, again, we all know why that happened. And as you can see, that it was pretty stable, pretty similar levels of ridership. Just below 15,000 for quite a long time. And again, like I said at the beginning of the presentation, our ridership has gone up tremendously starting with the schools back in session. And so we keep tracking this information. We'll be able to come back to you with updates on this kind of information. And this is a clearer way of looking at the peaking characteristics using just the lines. And you can see this is this March 2019 blue line is the high line here. And then this is the past few weeks where the peak has been coming back. So it's definitely, you know, we feel that that's a definite indicator that our ridership is back. Or coming back, I should say. So then the other thing that we track is our ride source service. And we have, in addition to that, we have non-emergency medical trips and then ADA trips, which tend to be more ride source. And as you can see here, the orange line, dotted line at the top of the non-emergency medical trips graph is the highest weekday that we experienced, which was back in July of 21. Our ridership here currently, showing the last 4 weeks of service, is not as high as that, but higher than our lowest weekday, which was back in April of 20. And so you can see people are it's a pretty steady use. Maybe some slight increase in the daily weekday volumes, but again, not back to higher. So it's less affected by students coming back, for example. And the same kind of patterns you see with the ADA trips. Again, not today, not at the levels we were seeing back in July. Much higher than the lowest ridership we had for ADA trips. And I asked John Allen, since he's here, to provide a little bit more of an explanation as to kind of how they see the people using the service at this point. And John, if you want to add something here.
Yeah, of course. I'm happy to. We'll never know for certain why someone may not choose to utilize the service at any period in time. So a response service and folks will call us when they need trips. We can try to speculate. And so some of the reasons why we might not have some of the same ridership as we've seen, certainly pre-pandemic and possibly earlier. We have had some services which have been in suspension due to COVID precautions. These have included our shopper shuttle, our DD53 transportation, providing work trips for individuals with developmental disabilities. In addition, we may be seeing more folks taking advantage of remote options for where they would have previously used ride-source transportation for a trip. So these can include things like a dial-a-nurse service. We're seeing lots of teledoc, virtual appointments for medical services, things like that. I know those are also being encouraged through a lot of our local healthcare providers as an option. So we may be seeing more of our previous ridership transitioning towards being able to do more remotely or at home and not requiring transportation as an option. But again, that's just speculation on our part.
Great. Thanks, John. So yeah, I'm going to close here, but just wanted to talk about a couple of things as we're looking forward. How is our service going to look? You know, how many, you know, when is that passenger load going to start getting back towards that 35,000 per day level? And just so you have some numbers in mind, right now we're operating about 80% of the service we were operating pre-COVID. With respect to ridership, we're carrying about 56% of what we were carrying before. So as we look forward, and I should just so you understand our kind of the rhythm of our business here, in a given year, we'll look at changing service three times. And that's the way we've operated for decades. And, we look at changing service during the fall as school is coming back, in particularly the university. We generally try to time what we call our fall bid in mid to late September, which is, again, usually when the U of O and LCC are coming back on campus. Then we also look, so the winter bid, what we call the winter bid, typically takes place late January, early February. Again, that reflects there's a change in ridership. The university is generally coming back from their winter break. And then the third change in service that we do is actually during the summer. And typically we see, you can understand U of O is out of session, LCC is out of session in terms of, you know, major students on campus, and the high schools are out of session. So generally speaking, it's a lower level of demand. So we generally dial back the service a little bit. So as we start to look forward, and again, you've read probably a lot about recovery and what the economy is going to look like and workers coming back to work. And there's a lot of challenges and a lot of uncertainties there. One of the key things that we're following, there's a lot of interesting information out there about how people are coming back to work. You know, it's not always a commute trip. We anticipate there being more people leveraging platforms like Zoom to be able to work at home, and expect that a certain percent of people that might commute on any given weekday might actually be working from home that day. And so we're going to watch and see how that kind of thing returns. And then also thinking about the future of our service, you know, as the economy increases, we expect that we'll see more ridership and feel we should be in a good place next fiscal year, for example, to operate even more service. Again, depending on the demand and trying to tailor our service to meet those demands. So at this point, that's what I had for you today. Again, we're more than happy to come back when we have more to share, but would ask if you have any questions for us.
I do have a question.
I had a comment. I do know that this is just in reference to Tom talking about the three times a year there are service changes, that we had spoken about how this meeting relates to those changes. Cosette, can you speak to that, or John, a little bit about that discussion? Because I'm not remembering exactly what we said.
Sure, I'd be happy to. Thank you. The conversation really goes back again to the purpose of this committee, which is to provide input and feedback on current service, proposed services, and looking ahead even farther into future services. So LTD generally has three main service changes each year. The biggest service change is typically in September. That's our fall service change. And one of the reasons that that's our biggest service change is because we're re-implementing service after taking maybe a little bit of a break from providing school service because the school districts aren't in session. So in the summer, we typically run a lower level of service. So our biggest service change is typically in September, and we call that our fall service change. And then we have a smaller service change in the winter, which is typically the first weekend in February. And then we have our summer service change, which again, we're typically ramping back, especially those school trips that we have for our school kids in June. So that would be our third service change for the year. And again, that's our summer service change. And one of the things we want to do is just to make sure that we're reaching out to this committee in a timely manner in order to both get feedback for future service changes and also to discuss potentially some of what we're seeing in our current service, maybe some new trends, or maybe we've implemented something new in terms of frequency or routing, and just getting a response or some feedback from this committee on that. Yeah.
Thanks, Cosette. Susan.
Thank you. I have a couple of questions. This report's really helpful, and along with the explanations. But I did have two questions, and one was when you discuss the fact that they're really, you don't know why ridership, why people aren't riding the bus or taking advantage of transportation, and what are efforts to try to get that information? Is there like town halls? Are there, I mean, just other opportunities to learn about that so it isn't just a big question mark. And then when you talk about future service and you're expecting the increase in demand, what is that based on? You're basing that increase based on what information? Thank you.
So let me start by saying I wouldn't characterize what I said as not knowing where the people are. We understand why people aren't using our services. You know, our demand for our service is highly correlated to two things: employment in the region, employment levels in the region, and student populations on campus. And so we understand why the ridership has been significantly reduced. The uncertainty we have, and the uncertainty I'm trying to express, is the uncertainty as to how the economy is going to recover. Mm-hmm. What pattern is that going to be? I feel our operational process is ready. It's able to adjust and react. That's why we have those three service changes throughout the year that allow us to do that. With respect to anticipating an increase, again, we're just going off the fact that, you know, from what everyone says about the economy and kind of where things are going, one is that we can anticipate that there likely is going to be increases in economic activity and therefore more people working and therefore more people riding the bus. And so the uncertainty is precisely how that is. And that's how we are trying to match our investment in operation from bid to bid to what we anticipate happening. Fortunately, we're part of a large network of people that are in the same business as we are. And we can, you know, look at what Portland and Seattle and Spokane and, you know, other parts of the Northwest and across the country, how we're all doing, you know, how is this working and what are some things we can learn? So that's, you know, that network is really helpful in helping us deal with the uncertainties we have locally.
Sure.
Hopefully that helps.
That's helpful. I think I must have misunderstood then when you were talking about not really understanding why people don't take advantage of the service. I was thinking of that as pre-pandemic. So I must have just misunderstood that. So,
okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Don.
Oh, excuse me. When John was making his report and mentioned how RideSource had cut down, I was wondering whether we had any change in the brokerage stuff with the taxis and so on. Or did that follow the same trends as RideSource, or were there other people choosing to use other forms, you know, the taxis?
Yeah, so some of the statistics we had shown, it had a split between both the ADA ridership and the non-emergent medical transportation, which is the Medicaid ridership. Those looks like those have been pretty similar in how we've seen changes in trends. So at least for that time period, I think that's been pretty consistent.
Thank you.
And Pete.
Thank you very much. This is some great information. I have basically two questions. One, the first one I think is probably a little easier to answer. The LCC ridership, do you guys have any idea how much of the proportion of that gap is the LCC ridership? And number two, you say that we're about 80% as far as service levels. And some of that is that you've got routes like I frequently use the 28, which only is running once an hour, which can be a hindrance to actually using it, because not because it's not there, but the frequency can, if I for some reason miss that bus, that knocks me off an hour. So I had to, so I'm wondering how much is of the frequency problem has been also contributing to lower ridership in some of those routes that, you know, may not be heavily used anyway.
So let me get some clarity on your question about LCC ridership and the gap. Are you asking how much the LCC ridership typically is, or?
Basically, if the you know, how many trips does that contribute today? Is it like 5,000? Is it you know? Because I know it's pretty heavily used out going out there. You're running 60-foot buses pretty full in the fall when it's starting up and stuff like that. So,
right.
Go ahead.
So then let me, because I happen to have our service planners on, and Brett or Heather, if you have an answer of what the typical ridership in quote unquote normal times might be for LCC. And of course, we're not seeing much of anything now, given that they're not having much on campus activity.
Yeah. I can only estimate for you right at the moment without actually running several different reports to give you some more accurate numbers. But I can tell you from our route profiles, for example, for 2019. So a route profile is something that we run every year, and we base it on October ridership. So in 2019, Route 82, which primarily serves LCC, round trip fall total boardings, you know, on an average was about 1,494 boardings. Currently, we are running the 82, and it is running, I think last I checked, I think I actually have that one. Let me look real quick here. Yeah, it looks, it's, we're talking maybe 100 riders a week right now, or a day. So it's significantly small, but to put that in perspective, we reached out to LCC and they're only running 20% on campus right now of their total student population. They anticipate in November maybe going up to 30%. And then at the most, maybe by winter bid, maybe 50%. So it doesn't even sound like at this point they're anticipating going into full in-person classrooms for this this coming year. That's subject to change, of course. So we're watching that really closely. We do have service on the 81, the 82, and the 85 servicing LCC right now, as well as some trips with the 92 and the 98. So we are servicing it, and it is not at full service from what we would have been doing normally in 2019 pre-pandemic levels. I don't know if that's probably the best I could give you on estimates on numbers. I'd probably need to, I'm more than willing to gather that information though and submit it back for you for more detailed information if you'd like.
Well, I think it gives me a kind of a picture of what's going on. So I appreciate that. And my other question, if you could.
Yeah, yeah. So like I said, we're operating at 80% service now. And that's a combination of things. One is, well, and not necessarily currently, but it's somewhat funding related, but also more substantial. And you may have heard about this. It was a national issue. We're not able to hire, we haven't been able to hire enough operators. And we've got a situation where there's people retiring and you know, we're not able to add back enough. So we've been constrained with operators for quite a while now. We think we're starting to come out of that. You know, some of the classes that we're holding, so that process is probably worth having our operations director come and describe how that works to both recruit and then train operators to operate our service. But we're not having the same success we've had in the past of hiring enough operators to put out more service. So right now, the big constraint is having enough operators to operate the service. As we move forward, again, our hope is to try and add additional service, but that's going to depend on again, that the success in recruitment.
Hey, Tom. Yeah. Just kind of a little perspective. So we're running at 80% right now. We're hopeful that we'll be able to get up to around 87% for winter bid, which as Cassette mentioned earlier was would happen around February. So there are three routes that are currently not running that we hope to be able to bring back online, which is routes 27, 73, and 78. And we are looking at adding a 7 o'clock trip throughout the week is also on our regular core lines. So there are some things that we're looking at being able to kind of shore up the system again, as you would say, and begin to add back some of the frequency as we have drivers. Right now, the estimate is we can we're thinking we'll be able to add somewhere between 350 to 400 additional service hours for the winter bid. Putting that in perspective, weekly service hours for a current bid were about 1,167 hours less than what we were running pre-pandemic. If we add the 400, we'll be about 767 hours less of what we were pre-pandemic. And of course, keep in perspective, those are estimates at this point. A lot of it has to do with confirming a little bit better what the hiring pool is going to be able to accomplish through HR. And they're doing an awesome job. I mean, they're running classes and they are getting some good candidates. So we're very excited about that. So.
Thank you. We've had some great questions and some great answers. We are going to begin to cut into Kim's time, so I wanted to move on. Susan, I see you have a question. Do you want to go ahead and put it in the chat, Susan, or would you like to speak? You're on mute.
This will just be really quick. I'm just curious, maybe this isn't even the time or place to ask, but in the recruiting of drivers, and I know that this is true in the entire service sector, trying to recruit new people, but at the same time, making sure there's equity with the people that are already there. Is that being addressed?
I would like to just sort of have that be something we could have an email response to or something like that. The other thing I was wondering also is whether or not we could just simply hope 3 months from now, we will not have a problem anymore with recruitment. You all will be fully staffed. That would be beautiful. But if not, maybe having a short report on that be part of our agenda also, because that affects all services and it certainly affects the services that we're talking about. So that might be another thing we could talk about. I would like to move on unless somebody, if you have something else, maybe put it in the chat and maybe we can return to that after Kim has had her time. So please put any further questions about those issues in the chat if you would like. And Kim is here. Welcome.
Good afternoon. Let's fix my screen. Thank you for having me back here again to talk about the strategic business plan. Can everyone hear me all right? Should I speak up or good on sound? Great, thank you. I just want to make sure. You are mostly familiar with the strategic business plan, but there are two parts to my presentation today. One is to talk about what it is, and then the second part is to talk about what activities have taken place so far since the board adopted it in July. So as you recall, the development process itself to get us to the adoption point took place from January to July of this year. And I went and met with this body back in April, and then the day before the board adopted. But it was through your feedback as well as the other committee. The board unanimously adopted it in July, as I mentioned. And the plan spans three fiscal years. At LTD, our fiscal year begins in July. And then, so the plan is fiscal year 2022 to 2024. This month, the month of October, officially begins the implementation phase. So we've developed, we've adopted it, and now it's time to put that plan into action. And the heavy lift of staff work begins. So I'm going to share screen to show you the double-sided one-page summary that is included in your agenda packet as well, to give you an overview of the strategic business plan. Let me just move myself out of the way here. So the our SBP for short is would focus the district on the most important outcomes to deliver in the next 3 years. It is intended to bridge our mission, vision, and values to our day-to-day operations. As you recall, we updated and refreshed these three statements. Our adopted mission statement is now connecting our community. Our vision statement is in all that we do, we are connected, we are committed to creating a more connected, sustainable, and equitable community. And the values are the principles in which staff behave towards one another and to our customers and our community. This is something that is staff owned, and we're proud to have come up with these six terms. Someone in one of our departments had the great idea to abbreviate it, and now we're, I think it's called ICRISE, but it stands for respect, integrity, innovation, equity, safety, and collaboration. And it was definitely a collaborative effort amongst the staff. So as I mentioned, the plan, the first ever adopted and implemented strategic business plan will span 3 years. We will focus our priorities on these five strategic areas. Each of them will have definitions and what would the success outcome look like. So as there are these five: customer satisfaction. If we are successful in achieving customer satisfaction, we would know because we would get a net promoter score of 55. And there's a formula associated with what a net promoter score is. In terms of employee engagement, again, a similar formula in terms of an employee engagement score of 65. For community value, we would establish a baseline and then from there, improve that by 5%. For financial health, it's continue to achieve 3-year rolling financial plan targets. And last but not least, for sustainability, we are striving for a reduction in greenhouse gas emissions of 70%. The backside of this one pager talks about the plan, work plan tactics. These are projects or initiatives that we would undertake. There are 31 of these tactics. And this is a summary, of course, of the full adopted document. In the document, which you can download from our website, from the project page website, has definitions associated with each of these tactics. It identifies the owner of the tactic, and then breaks out the milestones, the quarterly milestones that we would strive to achieve during each quarter. With regard to this body here, I wanted to highlight, and these have been highlighted here, some of the tactics that might be of interest to people with disability or older adults. And so, for instance, right here, there's measuring customer satisfaction for paratransit, improve trip efficiencies and performance for ride source, conduct courtesy training for operations, public safety, enhance customer convenience, conducting a comprehensive operations analysis for ride source, establish baseline analysis of equity of LTD services, conduct operations analysis, ensure diversity, equity, inclusion, participation in bidding opportunities, communications in LTD as a transportation leader, and establish community partnerships for talent pipeline, increasing operational efficiency. I went through that really fast, just wanted to read out some of the tactics. And again, there's more information in the full plan itself that might be of interest to this group. And I'm happy to, if you have questions later about these specific tactics, try to answer them for you. The idea I wanted to show is that accessibility and older adults and issues around rider and equity of ridership is top of mind for the agency. And not to say that any of these other tactics don't aren't directly related to this body. It's all interrelated, and obviously LTD tries to provide service to everyone in the community. But these are some that is, I think, of direct impact to the RideSource and paratransit clients. And then in combination with the work plan tactics, we have performance metrics, which is, if you think of it as key performance indicators to show how the data points, the results that lead us to see how we're achieving towards our goals. I'm not going to go through them all. There's 24 of these metrics, each under the five top buckets of strategic focus areas. So under customer satisfaction, there are about 8 or so metrics associated with that, employee engagement metrics, community value, and so on. As I mentioned, you can go on to the project web page and get more information and download the full document. So with that, let me pause and stop share real quick to see if there are any questions so far about what the strategic business plan is. And if not, you can always come back. The next portion, I'm going to provide you with some highlights of the activities that have taken place since the plan was adopted in July. As I mentioned, the bulk of work is now on the workforce end to lead this plan into reality. And the first thing that we did was we identified who is going to lead this effort, and that came down to myself and another colleague, Amy Racher, to be the implementation coordinator. And what that means, as my role, is really to ensure that organizationally we're keeping track of progress and supporting to break down problem solve issues that might arise in our effort to implement roll out the plan. So some of the activities that I've been involved with so far are developing a work plan to get, essentially a roadmap for how to get these lofty tactics and goals into bite-sized reality, into reality. And we've determined the tactics owners and performance metrics teams. We've assigned them. I've been meeting with all of these teams to really, one, educate the workforce about what the strategic business plan is, similarly to what I just did with you. And then talk about, how are we going to work together to ensure transparency and eventually, making progress and reporting on those progress to you all, to the board of directors. In addition, we've rolled out a communications plan. The plan itself is, the communications is focused on informing educating what the strategic business plan is to the workforce, how it impacts their work. We're not talking about getting feedback so much as putting the information out, educating the public as well as this body about what it is. So for instance, the one pager that I developed that I showed you, we put out a bus talk article at our LTD's October bus talk. Social media posts, we're updating our website, putting up posters, or right now making the posters and then putting them up at different facilities. We've also changed our material template. So for instance, if you see the your AIS document today, the agenda item summary, it has a section that says how the strategic business plan fits, integrates into the agenda item that you receive. We are also incorporating the new mission, vision, value into our documents like the CIP or our employee handbook, those sorts of things. We are working with the clerk of the board to integrate and align a lot of the agenda items into how it fits into the strategic business plan. And then, let me see, what else did I miss? Give me 1 second. Oh, one last but not least, one of the things that I'm most excited about is developing a dashboard the first time in the agency, so that we have a way to, on an ongoing basis, report out to you all and to the community about the progress that we're making. You can go, the idea is, you know, it's still in development process. We hope to have this running in the next, in 2022. And the idea is that eventually you can go in and to Hoover's question earlier, perhaps, you know, you're interested in an aspect or what's going on with LTD, give us an update. And that dashboard can give you a glance into what that is. Obviously, if there's more interest, we can go back to you with a more detailed agenda item. But at the very least, you can see that, okay, we're making this progress on our tactics, and here's what our performance metrics looks like, ensuring that I think that level of transparency. And then in terms of upcoming activities, we are going to provide quarterly updates to the board. And then depending on the level of interest with this body, I'm happy to come back every quarter. Or like I said, you can check out the dashboard when that's ready. Or if you have specific areas of interest in terms of maybe those tactics, like I mentioned, those projects and initiatives, we're happy to come back and talk to you more about them. But the idea is, right, every quarter we would come back and report out. In addition, once a year, we would refresh the plan a little bit so that we can see, you know, especially being this is the first time that LTD is undertaking this type of initiative. Are we making progress the way that it's intended to be? Are there corrective actions that we need to take, or maybe even modify some of those tactics or milestones, or even, you know, some of the goals that that we have identified? So the idea is we would want to refresh that once a year, and then every 3 years would do a, you know, complete update, a bigger lift. So with that, I am happy to take questions and comments.
I wonder if you could share the back of the sheet again. I was interested in perhaps getting maybe just some samples of what some of the tactics might be really looking like to dive a little deeper, just into one or two maybe.
Okay, yeah, sure. And in fact, I would invite, if you don't mind, Cosette and or John, since Cosette has been identified as the owner for some of these tactics, would you, Cosette, like to share one or two of these in a little bit more detail?
Happy to. So thanks for asking. This is really exciting, first of all, for LTD to have this opportunity to go through this process to identify projects and tactics and get some good work done. So one of the areas that I'll be working on is you have here a comprehensive operations analysis for RideSource. And that's one small line, but it's a very large project. So we've had some conversation here today about some of the programs that operate through our RideSource call center. And a lot of times when we say RideSource, people just think our compliance related ADA paratransit, but that's actually not the biggest program that operates through the call center. We have many programs that operate through the call center. We coordinate it through a one call center where people call and have access to many different programs. And it's evolved over time. So we've taken on new programs. Those new programs have come with new compliance that new compliance creates new processes and new requirements in terms of operations. So it's evolved over time. And this is going to give us an opportunity to really take a step back and look at all of the operations, look at how we document, look at how we're doing our reporting, look at all of the operations involved in the RideSource call center to see if there's opportunities to find efficiencies, to do things better, and to have some deliverables that might make the service better from the customer's perspective. So is there an opportunity to find new areas of value for our customers? So that will be probably about a 15-month project, really looking at the RideSource operations from stem to stern, and looking for opportunities to improve operations and make it more convenient and valuable to the community. Did you want me to do another?
That's great. Thank you for that. Sure. Anybody else see one that they would like to have a little more info about? Or Cosette, do you want to tell us which ones you... I'm sorry, Don, did you want to speak to that?
Well, I just responding to Kim's presentation, she said we'd be looking at this annually and then after 3 years, because I just said, well, it's 15 months to do this one. But somehow I had the impression that we would be getting some sort of a quarterly report, maybe on those first five elements, so that we could begin seeing how this thing works, you know. And I don't know whether that's being too aggressive to find out whether we can get information to fill in the five elements that we put in there in a quarter, but it would kind of keep it on top of my mind anyhow, rather than waiting another year to see what happens here. And that was just, I don't know whether Cosette can respond to that or not.
I'm going to let Kim take that because I think it's okay. Bigger than the project that I was just talking about.
Sure. Perhaps I can clarify what I meant. And I think I threw out a lot of different time frames, right? So we, as you know, from a fiscal year standpoint, we operate on quarters, right? So the first quarter of this plan officially kicked off in this month, October being quarter two of fiscal year 2022, and it's really confusing for the public. But the idea is that eventually we want to align these quarters to our fiscal year and to how we develop our budget and whatnot. This year, unfortunately, because we adopted the plan in July, we weren't able to align it to quarter one and fiscal year 2022. So instead, we are now starting the plan in quarter two of fiscal year 2022. The quarter really is just to help staff develop those milestones, right? So every 3 months we know, okay, we're making progress on this tactic. For instance, the comprehensive operations analysis RideSource that Cosette mentioned. So by the end of this quarter, December 31st, myself with a dashboard, the directors group, the board of directors, we can come to you all and say, well, I can see that Cosette is making progress on that towards, the project, the bigger initiative, because she said that by the end of December 31st, she would have accomplished these, tasks A, B, and C. And I will be coordinating closely with Cosette to make sure that she, support her to help her stay on task. If Cosette says, Kim, I need to push this tactic or this action item out to the next quarter, then that's my way, our way, the agency's way to come back to you all and say, okay, maybe we need to rethink this tactic. Maybe we need to refresh this tactic. And that's what I mean by that 1 year refresh, is that not necessarily to say we're going to change everything from the plan, but perhaps Cosette needed some more resources that she didn't identify before. And so at the end of that 1 year cycle, that tactic may become a 18-month process as opposed to a 15-month process, if that makes sense. But the span of the entire plan itself, the full cycle would be 3 fiscal years. So after those 3 fiscal years, then we can say, you know, we can cross off that COA for rice source that's been accomplished. Let's take that off of the, you know, the next, hopefully board adopted, you know, update after fiscal year 2024. So did that clarify it, Don?
Well, I guess I was kind of looking at those. Okay, say we have the customer satisfaction, employee engagement, and we have these metrics. We're going to get a score of 55% or a score of 65%. You say, well, there's a formula to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Can that formula be applied within the quarter so that at the end of this year, this calendar year, we would see an adjustment in that 55 or 65%, or we'd see, okay, that was a good thing to tie ourselves to, and it's relevant. Mm-hmm. But since we're just starting, you know, this is just getting started. So mm-hmm. we have to kind of see what happens with applying the formulas and the metrics and, you know, all those things. So that's what I'm kind of curious about.
Yeah, absolutely. And in a second, I see, Cosette, you have your hand up. I would say that we would very, very likely not see any score by the end of this first quarter, right? By the end of December 31st, because we're just getting started. So for instance, the Net Promoter Score that you mentioned, LTD actually never really measure that. What a Net Promoter Score means is, you know, through a survey, we're asking riders, members of the public, how likely are you to recommend LTD service to your friend or family member? A score of 55 might be ambitious, but we're striving to get there. And again, because this is a 3-year plan, we are striving to get to that Net Promoter Score of 55 by the end of fiscal year 2024. And so there's a host of action items associated with getting us to that Net Promoter Score, right? So we are measuring these overall key performance indicators. We're doing all these projects in order to get to these 5 goals, right? And so I would say that we perhaps by the end of fiscal year 2022, so July or, you know, June 30th, 2022, after we've had the chance to actually deploy that survey to get the first round of the Net Promoter Score, what that baseline is, then fiscal year 23, we would have action plans to, you know, maybe if we have met that score, then that's when that 1 year we reflect back and say, maybe we should change that score. If we're really under that number, then we will talk about, okay, what do we need to do now in order to get us towards that, this 55 point score after fiscal year 22 and fiscal year 23 and fiscal year 24.
Let me cut in here a little bit. So this is Mark. And so, yeah, Dawn, quarterly we will be reporting. And the Net Promoter Score, 55%, actually came from the ABBG survey that we did. And so that was the basis for that. But it's not necessarily a valid survey because of there's things about it that, you know, maybe make it not completely valid. So we're looking at developing a different one. But for the time being, we're using the ABBG customer satisfaction survey. And for those of you who don't know what the ABBG is, it's the American Bus Benchmarking Group that we're a part of. And we do a yearly customer satisfaction survey that includes a Net Promoter Score. And so that's what that's based on. So,
thank you.
And Cosette, did you have your, okay. Are there any other questions? Well, thank you everyone for your time. And again, I think we will try to, with the chair of this committee and Cosette or John, I'm happy to come back here at each of your quarterly meetings to give you status updates.
I think that sounds like a great idea. We keep adding things to our agenda. I love that. So it looks like nobody has questions for Kim. I did say something, forgetting, of course, that in this public meeting, we do not have chat. Susan, I know that we had said we do have a little bit of time if anybody can respond to Susan's earlier question. And then I did also want to, there is the agenda also to look at. We do have the annual working agenda that was attached, and I thought we could take a quick look at that and then also make sure that people can provide us with anything, any other thoughts they've had about future agenda items. So Susan, do you want to restate?
Actually, it was answered. I did go ahead and ask and it was answered.
Okay, good. Great, I'm glad to hear. So at the end of our agenda document today, there is also the annual working agenda. The one thing that I had a question about is that the only thing it looks like on the agenda for today is the Statewide Transportation Improvement Fund. I don't know why it was on there. And what was expected to be said about it, but that seems to be what's on there. Is that just a leftover from a former thought? Was it simply, is that something that we have discussed to our before, or is that something that will come up with future information?
So that is, thank you for asking, and I apologize for that being on there and us not having an item today. That is something for the future. So that's a topic, it's a big topic. So our Statewide Transportation Improvement Fund is going through some changes. So we are in the process of consolidating our Special Transportation Fund into our Statewide Transportation Improvement Fund. So I would expect that we would keep that on there as a standing item. And I think that that's why it's on there today, was really looking more future to keep that on there as a standing item, just to provide updates and also provide some context, because as we're developing our plan and as we're developing projects to receive funding, we will definitely be looking to this committee to provide feedback and recommendations.
Okay, that's great. And I did, it was something that was on my mind as I was kind of looking at other things that we were talking about today. It's something that comes up quite a bit, and I just don't know what the level of understanding of what that transition is going to be like, or might be like, or needs to be like, that anybody on this committee has. My guess would be that the board is more knowledgeable about that, but maybe not. I don't know. So, I think that's a great thing to also have on there. So there we go. I think we've got four things that are recurring items now on our agenda. Has anybody else had thoughts of anything else that might be something at least to talk about in January, I think is our next meeting? Certainly, you know how to reach us all. It looks to me like that is the end of our current agenda. Am I correct? Are we ready to adjourn a few minutes early? Looks like we are. So thank you all for attending, and this meeting is adjourned.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.